Now we move on to the second reading, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, to chapter 4, verse 2. And as you can well imagine, it's going to be all about fulfilling, the beginning of the fulfillment, put it that way. Okay. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts, to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his holy ones. So, what is going to get us ready for the coming of Christ? Love. Isn't that what he just said? See, may he make you abound and fulfill ti agapi, is alilus, in love for each other. That's what gets us ready. Yeah, you got to get a present for Uncle Harry, and you got to buy a turkey and cook it. But what gets us ready, not only for this Christmas, but for that definitive moment when Christ will come, not as an infant in a manger, but as a risen Lord, glorious, to gather all those who love him and whom he loves together, and to judge the world. Now, how do we get ready for that? That's what he says. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you. When that happens, it strengthens your heart to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones. Get ready! Is Jesus going to come this Christmas and end the whole thing? Is it the end of the world? I don't think so. Is it the eschatological moment? Yes, but in anticipation. All the factors that make that moment will be present in a new way at Christmas. This is not a theater piece. This is liturgy. Christ acts in a new way he has never acted before at this Christmas, a prolongation of what he has been doing since he came among us. Well, we want to be in on that, right? What do we have to do? You know, give up candy for Advent? That's not a bad idea. You heard it? Love. Love. So start with your own family. Be sure you're reconciled with everybody in your family and with everybody you live with. Now, what's implied here in this love is what? Love for the poor. Most of our parishes, you know, they're parishes. People live all around. They go to church. Most of the time, they don't even know one another's name. How do we get beyond that? Well, we try. We try with, you know, having a meal, doing things together, but at least reach out to our family and our neighbors and the poor. In almost every parish where you live and to which you're going to be going, as Advent unfolds, there are meals for the poor, there are collections for the poor. That's where your agape is. And of course, you know, if there's somebody in the parish you don't like, fix it up. If you don't now, what are you going to do when you see Jesus? And he says to you, why did you ignore me, look down your nose at me, treat me badly? For 25 years you did that. And now I'm supposed to let you into heaven? When did we see you and do that? I promise you, whatever you did to the least of my brothers, you did it to me. So, we're getting ready for Judgment Day, and not just for Macy's. This is preparing for the coming of our Lord, which is eschatological in the sense that it brings an ultimatum, it brings an ultimate in our midst. And how do we get ready for that? Of course we pray, of course we fast. But all for one reason, to increase our love. our love in our own family, our love in the parish. So why don't you sit down sometime and write out, who are the 10 people I don't like in the parish? And then do something about it. Have a party. Don't invite all 10 at the same time. Maybe they don't like each other either. But invite one or two. Let's have a post-Christmas dinner. Do something to reach out. There should not be divisions and enmities and jealousies and backbiting in a parish. That's blasphemy. This is the place where the body of Christ gathers to build itself up in love through the Eucharist and to extend that through the year. Make up your mind, you're going to get to know 10 new people during this year. Hello, I'm Joe Schmo. And who are you? I see you every, you know, Sunday at the 9 o'clock Mass, but we've never talked. You know, what do you do for a living? Whatever you want to say. But build up in love, you see. Now, then he goes on very, very beautifully. Finally, brothers and sisters, we earnestly ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you should conduct yourselves to please God, and you as you are conducting yourselves, you do so even more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. A lot, when I'm given these instructions as a preacher here, I'm only imitating and carrying on the New Testament, right? Right here it says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts, to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if he shows up at St. Gwendolyn's parish and gathers everybody together, the whole parish, and they won't have any trouble seeing him. It'll be, you know, no matter how many thousands are there, if it's a big parish, you know, everybody sees him, and and everybody knows what he's saying to everybody else. So he says, Joe, you were okay about getting to Mass most of the time, and you put in something to the collection, but you criticized the pastor unmercifully and never had the guts to go talk to him and see if you couldn't work it out. Besides that, there are people that sat right next to you in church every Sunday. You never got to know them. And on top of all of that, there's people that you never talked to. You didn't like them. And now here you all are in front of me to be judged. What am I supposed to say? Did you form a community of love? That's a slogan, right? Every parish, we're a community of love. Well, are we? And do we take care of the poor and the lonely? Now, in every parish, there are some people, usually widows. And these beautiful people do reach out. And there are people running the St. Vincent de Paul Society and things. But the average Sunday golfer, parishioner, are you doing anything? Are you building up the parish where you live? Do you come together? Oh, what a beautiful thing. We're together on Sunday to hear the word, to be fed on the body and blood of Jesus. That's what we're here, to be built up in love. So that we become a community of love where people are welcome. Even the poor. I can promise you as a priest, I go in and I'm the chaplain of a community, so I go to different parishes sometimes to help out on Sunday, or pretty regularly to one or two. And then I meet people, especially those who are new to the country and who don't speak English well. And they don't have good jobs, so they can't get dressed up like real fancy. They're embarrassed to go to church. They hang around the back. They get out as fast as they can. Why doesn't somebody get out there ahead of them? So as they come out, they say, hello, my name is Joe. How long have you been coming to the parish? Do something to make it a place of love. Now, obviously, you know as well as I do, Some parishes are pretty good at this. Some parishes aren't so very good at this. Don't wait for the parish pastor to take the initiative. Start. Don't cut across his bow. Don't criticize him. Don't have an event when he's having another event. None of that sort of stuff. Just take the initiative in love. What would Our Lady do if she was in your parish? What would she do? Think about that. Think about her love, her welcoming, her peace, her care, her willing to pray over your children. You've got a child who's got a really bad disease. Why doesn't somebody pray over them? Make sure that the parish priest knows about it, because he can anoint either with just blessed oil or with the oil of the sacrament. You can anoint with blessed oil. Help people, you know, especially those, you know, with sick infants. Young couples with infants who are sick and others who aren't. All the help they need, the encouragement they need. Suppose now we have, I guess around your area as well, they have these cards, you know, for Safeway and Giant and I'm sure the other, what do you call them, grocery stores. Suppose you buy a $25 card and you know that you're not giving them cash. You're not, just slip them a card. Those families who are having a hard time. Christmas. Here. Maybe this will help your Christmas. $25 card they can take to the grocery store and buy something for their kids. A surprise. A big, what do they call those things? Cranberry jelly or whatever it is. Or whatever. That doesn't cost much. Now, if you bought four of them, $100. Yeah, I know the economy's a wreck. But maybe or 50, whatever you can afford. And buy these cards. And you don't have to say, I know you're poor. Just say, here, welcome. You're from Africa or Latin America or wherever you're from. Here, have a Christmas. That doesn't take much. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his holy ones, not only at the end of the world, but at Christmas. Wouldn't that be great? Our Lord may even whisper in your ear, enjoy your Christmas. I didn't know how I was going to feed my family, and you gave me one of those grocery store cards. This year you did that. And I'm going to whisper in your ear, thanks for that. You gave that to me, you know. How important it is, my friends, that we show forth the face of Christ. And not just to the parish. Anywhere we go. And especially to take care of the poor. Not just write a check. Huh? You see, mercy writes a check. Compassion looks to the person. That's what we want to do at this Christmas. So that's what Paul is telling us to do, and the church takes it as advice to get ready for the new presence of Christ among us at Christmas.